Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 4 of season 6. If you've just joined, I'm Robin from At a Tired Witch. Everywhere. And I'm joined by the beautiful, the powerful, the unstoppable, and the definitely sick Maria of Magic with Maria. Everywhere.
Wow. All the titles. Unstoppable.
Yes. I'm unstoppable. Completely. You're unstoppable, but I'm also going to keep you humble, which is the fact that you're sick again. This woman is dying.
Yes. I think we just keep swapping. Like, you'll
honestly,
be sick,
like, it's getting to the point of like actual ridiculousness. I'm sick.
You should look outside right now. Spring has sprung in South Carolina, and the pollen looks like snow. Like, really? Literally, when you view it in the sun, you can just see it drifting.
Oh my god, that's disgusting. That's actually disgusting. It's pollen cum, and it is it's coming. As a reminder to everyone, so that we are going to be in Chicago June 12th through 14th of this year for the Windy City Paranormal Festival. Get out there. Join us. We're going to have a booth. We're going to be doing tarot readings. We're going to be doing pots for group spells. And we're going to have some physical items for sale. And then we're also going to be on the main stage chatting.
Yeah.
Being cool. Being sexy. Being fun. Real, tangible. You can reach out and touch us. Also, please don't touch me. I realize
boundaries.
As I'm saying it, that I don't want that. Don't touch me. But you can ask.
Yeah. And guys, don't forget to join us for our class this month, which is on March 29th, and it's with Siri Vincent Plouffe on Queering the Runes. We're very excited about it.
We are very excited. Good. And I should have, by the time this episode comes out, classes available for sale, like, as individuals. So if you're not wanting to join the Patreon full, like, as a reoccurring thing, but you are interested in the one class, I should have our past classes done by the time that this episode comes out, and the upcoming class will be sold individually as well. So,
yeah.
Get at us, guys. And don't forget that yeah, if you want to send us a story for Coffee Talks, you can leave us a voicemail at 351-207-0799. It's got a 3-minute cap. Just call it back, us back. We'll smash them together. Or you can send us a written version of the story at submissions@coffeeandcauldrons.com, or head to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, to fill out our submission form. So get at it. Let's do it. If you've just joined us this week, every week we talk about upcoming lunar phases and how you can utilize those in your magical practice. So the nearest one to us is both a new moon and a partial solar eclipse. This is going to be on March 29th. It's the new moon in Aries. And this is one of those ones, those new moons, where it really is dependent on where you live for if it's going to be on the 29th or the 30th. So do make sure to be checking your astrological calendars, guys. See what percentage the moon is at. Because where I live, which is on the west coast of the United States, in California, it it goes to, it like, it takes over at like 11 p.m. So really make sure to look at your astrological calendars, because you might be the 30th as well. Now, that being said, the new moon in Aries is a very good time for finding your voice. Aries, as a astrological sign, are the most confident people I've ever known in my entire life. They just are. And they are very good at speaking their truth and being very confident about what they have to say. Now, that being said, because I seem to find myself surrounded by Aries, I'd like to humble all of you motherfuckers really quick and say, you might be confident, but that doesn't make you right.
I'm always right. What are you talking about? We're always right. We're always right. Hey, Cancers are the same. That's why we get along.
Excuse me, Cancers are always right. So I don't know what you're fucking talking about right now.
It's not that we're both defensive. You guys see what's astrological happening right now?
This is the Aries in her. It is jumping out. She's attacking me. I'm under siege. and she's wrong again. She's found her voice and she's wrong about it. That's crazy.
No.
Now, that being said, I would utilize this particular new moon to confidence spells, to find your voice. Perhaps this is something that you are, like, you're in school or you're at work or whatever, and you really have got this new idea, or you've been researching something really well and you are struggling to find that voice within yourself to advocate, to speak out, etc. This is the time utilize magic that is going to find you that voice, to give it to you, to make you be able to speak your truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think about this new moon, other than the fact that you're going to be so up your own ass about it?
I am. Guys, just like Robin says, every Cancer moon, like, this is the best moon ever. No, I really agree with everything you said. I really think doing confidence spells or anything that, like, or even like a spark to get you going. Like, if you're struggling, like, with a project or anything, and you just need like that, you need to reinvigorate that spark, and that can even mean like romance. Like, this would be the new
moon. Okay.
Those, like, hey.
We haven't had a horny episode.
If you need some fire.
Is this your way of bringing the horniness back to the chat?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, if you want a little bit of a spark of whatever that means to you, this would be a good new moon to put, like, you know, do a fire, like, do something with candles, like, do something.
Yes, that... fire. Don't burn your house down, but fire.
But yeah, go do some confidence spells. Maybe some saucy spells. Go have fun.
Yes.
Celebrate me and my birthday, my upcoming birthday. It's coming. So, every podcast, we go over some tarot, and you like. Other episodes we have gone over like individual meanings, and other seasons we've gone over like whole sections in tarot, like the aces, the queens, what is the major arcana, like what is the major arcana, what is the minor arcana. And then last season we went over like themes. This year we decided to do like a shuffle and draw, just to see what pops out. So Robin's doing the shuffle and draw this time. Let's see what she gets.
So this week I am using the Lovely Omens tarot deck. Everybody loves this deck. They always have. Every time I post about it, they're like, where the heck did you get that? Unfortunately, the author or the illustrator of it no longer makes this deck.
So lame. I should have gotten it.
Removed herself from the internet. Like... And I heard she might have died. I don't know if that's true. Like, her and I were not friends, but that's what I heard. So take from that what you will. But if you see any websites out there that are selling the Lovely Omens deck, it is my understanding that those are not real. Those are fraud decks. Those are, scammers. So that being said, our card today... is the King of Pentacles reversed. Oh, gosh. I'm like showing the camera like we're going to be on camera this week. This is ridiculous. Okay.
Show it to me, Robin.
Show it to me, Rachel. Oh my God, please, Rachel. I can't. I am like way too internet ruined. Anyway, okay, so the King of Pentacles. When we are looking at the King of Pentacles, when it's upright, we're seeing financial success. We're seeing kind of having all the things that make us feel safe around us. We've kind of built up this empire of safety. Usually that is financial, but it is anything that's earthly as well. So our tangible things, your home, your finances, you know, anything that's going to make you feel safe in your life. Now, that being said, when it is in reverse, it tells us that we think we're there. We think we have all these things, but we actually aren't. And we need to take a little bit of a humble pie card, because when this card comes up, he's kind of an arrogant asshole. And being, it's a lot like the Tower card, where it's like, well, you might be the king, but everyone can fall. And this card coming up is really just kind of a humble pie when it comes to the things that make us feel safe. Yes, you might be feeling safety, but it is a reminder that that safety is not guaranteed. It's not necessarily something that you have worked hard enough for, or whatever, that it is like, you know, a done deal. So make sure that you are continuing to work, continuing to put in that effort, and kind of just having a little bit of humble pie. Don't be an arrogant prick. What do you think about this card?
So for me, like, when the kings are upright, like, they showed like our specific kingdoms in our life, like, and I mean kingdom, like where we're laying the groundwork for the future and how we are like adding value to these specific kingdoms so they benefit us for years to come. And it's just, you know, it's putting in that time and effort to see like the longevity of, you know, of what we are creating. Now, for the Pence specifically, it shows like where we're actually putting our time and energy into, like when it comes to goals and when it comes to our finances. And so like when he's reversed, to me, it shows, it can show a couple things. One, it can show that we're completely rebuilding. Our kingdom is wrecked. Like the future that we were going towards when it comes to finances and goals just did not work out. And now we're kind of needing to reimagine what we want it to look like when we're moving forward. Like it's a complete restart. It sucks. And we're cleaning up like the wreckage and all that. As you said, it's kind of like a tower like moment. And then secondly, it can show like you're not doing anything for your future. You're not putting in that time and energy like that will benefit you for years to come. Instead, you might just be focusing on the short term. You're focusing on like, you know, I'm going to do this tomorrow, but it's not really going to like lead to anything great in the future. You're out, you're probably going out there and spending money you don't have, like on things that don't really matter. And just like the goals that you have are kind of like short-sighted, and they're really not going to benefit you in the future and create that thriving kingdom. And I really view the kings as like laying boundaries where you need to lay boundaries and expanding where you need to expand. And it's just like looking up, you know, if something is stagnant in your life, like you need to think about, does there need to be a, like, do I need to lay boundaries here where like eventually I need to stop and venture somewhere else, or do I need to expand it and see like where you can make the stagnancy end. Does that make sense?
It does. It totally does. Yeah. I think it really, what it comes down to is we're both viewing this from the fact that if you get the King of Pentacles in reverse, really it doesn't matter what the context is. It's not great. It's not great. And there's some self-reflection that is needed here, because whether you're restarting your kingdom, as Maria said, or you're taking a slice of humble pie because your shit's not, your ducks aren't in order, it's not awesome. We gotta we gotta do some work.
Agree.
Okay. So this week, Maria and I thought that we would kind of dive into finding a deity. Obviously, we're not going to sit here and tell you guys who you should work with. That's not our goal here. Instead, if you are somebody who is working on a witchcraft practice and you're like, I've been curious about this, or I'm ready to expand into some sort of devotional work that isn't just, you know, the grand universe or similar, kind of what that looks like in our opinion and what, I don't know, how we can help you with that. So that being said, Maria, what do you think are some of the benefits of working with a deity?
So some of the benefits is definitely help with spell work, obviously. It just adds that extra element of, it's kind of like adding a crystal to a spell. Obviously deities are way more important, have way more energy.
Way more nuance than that.
Yeah, way more nuance. But it does add that extra benefit that you have a guide. You have someone who is looking out for you and adding that additional energy to the spell. Like you would coven, you know? They kind of add an additional thing. And then there's that whole deeper spiritual connection, you know, as humans we want to believe in something, and and then there's that whole deeper connection that we can, you know, have with a deity. As humans we want to believe in something, and believing in something is beautiful. I mean, not everyone who works with deities actually believes in them. I think that's a whole other conversation. There's that whole animism aspect where, you know, you put a deity's name towards, you know, there's the deity of the sky, the deity of the earth, right. There's that whole animal, and then there's that whole ancient wisdom that comes with deities. You know, their stories and their folklore and their mythologies tell us you know, about the human experience. And so through their stories we can find pathways in our own life and spiritual practices. How about for you?
So for me, I'm going to have kind of a hot take here, which I know a lot of people are not going to agree with, and I'm totally okay with that. This is my belief. It's okay if yours does not agree with me. But I am a really big believer in the fact that witchcraft is another form of a religion without dogma, because you have to have the same kind of faith and dedication that one has within devout religions to see the benefit that you want to. Giving it another word, giving it another phrase, I guess you could say, is that I would compare witchcraft success to Christian heaven. If you put in the energy, if you put in the work in Christianity, if you, you know, say sorry to the priest enough or fucking whatever, you go to heaven. In witchcraft, in my opinion, the more you have a devotion, the more likely your spell work will be successful. That's our heaven, right? Yeah. I'm being extremely, you know, broad brushed with that. And again, if you don't agree with me, that's okay. We can be wrong. We can disagree about this one, because it is all down to faith, right? And so when you are working with a deity that aligns with your own personal beliefs and your own practice, that gives something for you to have the devotion towards that aligns with that kind of religious undertone, I'm trying to explain, possibly poorly. and so that is where I'm coming from with that. I think it's really beneficial. I think a lot of people kind of fearmonger, especially on the internet, about working with deities. And they also give these really fantasy ideas about working with deities, which is actually my not stirring my cauldron this week. So I'll get into that later. Well, I guess I can touch a little bit on it now. Essentially, giving people unrealistic ideas of what it looks like to work with a deity is crazy.
Yeah, no. I think people put really misrepresented, really unrealistic. Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of witches come from, you know, Christianity and like religious trauma and stuff like that. Not saying that there aren't Christian witches, there are Christian witches, but right. And they don't know how to make their spiritual religious practice in a way that is like, that works for them personally. Instead, they like right. work so much like at making it such a huge component of their life and practice that eventually they burn out, and then they like, you know, and you can even reach that spiritual psychosis point, like for some witches that like put that make it too much of their life. So you have to like,
right.
like you guys, like, you have to be careful, like all everything in moderation, and know like when you're reaching a point where you're making it too much of a focal point in your practice and your life. But I do like your opinion on like how, you know, even witchcraft is a devotional act. It is a religion, because you are putting that time and energy into something that's bigger than you.
It's like, religion without dogma. We yeah, don't exactly. have these, you know, dogmatic texts. And so I think that's why a lot of people really hesitate to call it a religion. I don't want to get into mm-hmm. that like too much. I think if this is a topic that you kind of want to explore, I really recommend you guys, look at some of Thorne Mooney's videos on it. Thorne has, I believe, don't quote me, Thorne either has or is working towards a PhD on the topic. And so it's actually her opinions on it. Align a lot with mine, but also are just really interesting and smart, and I don't know, check out her stuff. But it does align a lot with my own personal beliefs in on a non-PhD level.
No, and I think it's important to talk about, like, I know this isn't like on our me and Robin have like a whole thing that we like go through, like little prompts to do, but people also don't realize that there's a ton of like different like deity like viewpoints out there, like how people view deities. And I kind of touched on that with the animism point of view, but it's like, you know, some people view deities as divine beings walking in the other world. Other people view them as egregores. Other mm-hmm. people view them as the animus. And other mm-hmm. people just view them as archetypes to work at, mm-hmm. To work with. And other people view them as like part of a singular divine entity. Like there's so right. many different viewpoints, and no one's right. And people are right, but no one is right. like wrong. No, I'm like, but there's no one out there who is like wrong, you know what right. I mean, and no right. one's like very and anybody very
who,
right.
and anybody who tells you that they know everything about this sort of stuff, that's a massive fucking red flag.
It's they yeah, can be that's extremely, like the red flag of fraud.
They can be extremely knowledgeable about a given deity for a whole plethora of reasons, but nobody is ever going to know everything about everything, especially considering the fact that most of our folklore is from 2000 to 8000 years of spoken word passed down. And I don't know if you guys have ever played the game Telephone.
Well, not only that, especially like Greek mythology, like the whole telephone thing is completely right, because you'll have 5 different philosophers telling you the same story. And yeah. Not only that, people don't take in consideration like those stories also have, you know, political motivations. Like they had things, you know,
they still do.
They still do. Modern absolutely.
Day, you take our modern day religions and take Christianity as like the greatest example of that. So many mm-hmm. times the Bible has been rewritten, even in the last 100 years, to fit political narratives, because religion and spirituality is always going to be political. And if you don't think that it is, then you are living in a delusional bubble of chaos and crazy.
Yeah.
You're living in the river of denial, baby.
But, so what are your tips on, like, finding one? And guys, I'm so sorry. I always sound like I'm on the verge of coughing, and I literally am. So if you, like, hear me get all
she's sleepy, literally
that's
so
me about to, like, mute and, like, cough my head off. So that's probably why I sound all off. But anyways, yeah, so So how do you find one, Robin?
Well, I think that this is a layered question with a layered answer. So I think a lot of people get really excited about the idea of working with deities. And they're like, I really know I'm familiar with Diana, so I must be getting called to Diana, let's say. But I also really like Persephone. And I also really like Hell. And I also like, and it's all scattered. It's against all these different traditions, all of these different backgrounds. A lot of people are going to tell you to look into your own ancestral background to find your deity, but I don't actually necessarily think that that is the most helpful thing unless you're working with relatively modern folk saints. Not to say that you shouldn't do that, but we start to tread waters there of getting a little, blood quantum theory on things that are, like I said, like 8,000 years old.
I do think that it's okay to look at your
I also do too. But what I'm saying
just because
is that I
that
don't think that
layer
that
with
is,
working with guides.
Yeah. What I'm saying though is I don't think that it is exclusionary to that. Mm-hmm. Now, when I say when I say that, I am not recommending, before somebody takes my words out of context, that some white girl from Connecticut should start working with like African deities and gods.
Let's not do that.
Let's not do that, guys. Like, let's have some critical thinking skills and know that that is not what I'm saying when I say this. I am not suggesting somebody work on a closed, you know, practice and reach it. I'm not saying that. Let's use our brains. What I'm saying, however, is that I do think that you can expand outward from just necessarily, like, let's say you come from an Italian heritage, and so you feel like you have to only work with Italian deities or saints. It would be saints. I don't necessarily think that that's true, because I think if you're going to work with saints, you also have to have a baseline belief in Catholicism, and that might not be you. Why? Mm-hmm. You cannot work with saints if you don't believe in some kind of God. Like, it's oil and water. So I do think that you can expand, but what I will tell you is I don't think that you should be working with a Nordic god and a Greek god and a folk saint all at once. Like, that's crazy. These things are requiring too many extremely varied relationships, too different. Let's pick one and stick with it. And if later on, after a couple years, you want to expand, great. I also feel like in finding one, it's okay to say, you know what? I thought I was called to this deity. I thought this is something I wanted, but this relationship isn't going to work out for me. And just like any respectable adult in a relationship, you break up with them in a kind way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I completely agree with what you said about, like, I think people go in way too hard, too fast, and you really need to devote time, like, learning about the deities and their history so you can build that base relationship. But I definitely... Oh, no, go ahead. I have a whole
thing. I thought you were going to cough, so I was going to talk over you so that way you wouldn't ask it. I'm sorry.
You're fine.
I was trying to be helpful.
It's
going to
happen soon. It's going to happen soon. But, yeah, so let's be, like, you know, let's not appropriate closed practices like hoodoo, voodoo, Native American practices, Native practices in general, and that includes, you know, a lot of places around the globe.
I will say that I think that all relationships are spiritual relationships are just like actual dating. For some people, and actually I'm going to say the majority of the populace, what works for them is monogamy. So it might be that you just work with one deity. For other people, having deity relationships is like polyamory, and you're going to have a couple of them, right? And you have these healthy, co-functioning relationships. But you don't start off a polyamorous being polyamorous by being like, and now I have six girlfriends.
Yeah.
you have... Like, You have your first
partner. And not only that.
And then you date around. And you know what I mean? It's takes time.
Yeah. Not only like the polyamorous thing, which totally makes sense. But also like it'd be like polyamory where you're long distance with some and you're like close yeah. with others. You know what I mean? Because like which could, what's great can about work working.
For some people, but it you can. Have to figure that out.
But like with mythology and stuff, it's like it's really it's most beneficial to work with guy like with deities like in the same area because their mythologies are all connected. So when you're learning about one, you're learning about others at the same time. So you're once again building that very strong foundation. And as Robin said, that doesn't mean you can't venture, but creating that solid foundation and it just it helps you if you do want to expand within that certain pantheon. But one thing I did want to discuss is like there's always this like back and forth to be to choose and to be chosen. Guys, you can have either. Like one is not better than the other. Like
I think that like, the internet has given people false ideas that yeah. a deity will reach out to you and. That does happen. I'm not trying to be dismissive mm-hmm. of that or those people's very real experiences. What I'm trying to say is that there is like God spousing, first of all, if you don't know what that is, those people need help. He has like if you just take mythology in, it is literally never once ended well for a human being who spoused a god. So let's just start with that. But secondly, this god spousing, people on the internet have realized, oh, that's not very good, but they want to repackage that same feeling. And so they give these like grand illusion, like crazy ideas that this, well, I work with Artemis.
Well, that's part of that spiritual psychosis.
Exactly. And that yeah. is... Woo, that's a red flag.
Yeah, that's and I really think like, and it doesn't just because I know a lot of people who are like, I really want to work with this deity, and it's like, mm-hmm. but they feel like they have to be chosen, so they wait to work with them. But sometimes that calling to work with a deity is enough because you have that drive to learn about them, mm-hmm. and maybe you're connecting with their energy for a specific reason. Like you would be. You know, like, let's say that someone wants to work with Hecate. A lot of new witches want to work with Hecate, but that makes sense because Hecate is the goddess of witchcraft. Of course, right. like a new witch will want to work with Hecate, but you can't like wait for her to, you know, be like
kiss you on the lips.
Yeah, go ahead and start researching her, build that base foundation, and then yeah. you know when you're like. I'm going to be respectful to you and I want to learn your story. Then maybe she'll be like, okay, let's throw out some signs.
Let's,
you know
let's
I mean?
Try this. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just think that people, we gotta stop letting the internet like lead our, and I know it's so ironic because we're on a podcast, which is on the internet, but we have to stop allowing short form content to shape our viewpoint on something as delicate as spirituality and spiritual beliefs, because what that does is it creates a really unrealistic and really unhealthy relationship with witchcraft that makes it so that way we are constantly in a state of frustration because we're not hitting these marks that people are saying we should be hitting on the internet. And when we're not hitting the marks, then that makes us feel like, well, maybe my spells aren't working. And the number one thing in spell work is knowing your spell is going to work before it does. And if you start doubting yourself, you've got a self-assured destruction bomb happening. It's just, I don't know. It's one of those things that I think that the internet is such a beautiful tool in place, but also people are so desperate to... be the best and be, oh, I'm more unique than you.
Authoritative.
Yeah.
They want to be authoritative. And unfortunately, like, guys, like, just like, you have free will when it comes to like working with deities. and, you know, but you also have free will to listen to, like, different voices, like, take in what resonates.
Including your own.
What doesn't.
Trusting your own intuition and gut that you're being called to something.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. Like, as you said, the short, for, like, letting short-term content,
short-form content is also great. Everything. Like, it is great. It is great. There are,
it's bite-sized, like, I mean, snacks.
We make short form content. I'm not sat here saying, oh, if they're a short form content creator, it's no good. That is not true. And I would actually say that 98% of the content in short format is great. Whether that it's because it's entertaining or it's informative or it's just cozy vibe that you like. 98% of it, I would say, is amazing. But that 2%. They've got to fuck off.
Yeah. And guys, algorithms exist. So if you get a video that says this God is calling you, you're going to get another video that says that same God is calling
you. Especially if you pause.
And you're going to get another.
You watch it. You like it. You interact with it. Or, as some of the dumbest people that have ever lived have commented on our posts recently, if you fucking comment on it, the algorithm is going to think you want more content like this, and it will continue to feed it to you.
Yeah.
Let's use our heads, guys. Critical thinking. We've got it. You are smart. As I tell my 3-year-old, you are smart, you are strong, and you are capable. Okay? Mm-hmm. You are all those things. So let's utilize it. Let's utilize all of our skills and not fucking comment on videos we don't want to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, do you have any parting advice for people when they are wanting to build a relationship with deities?
Actually, yeah, I do want to say something. Guys. This is going to be a big hot take. It's going to be a hot take.
Love that.
You don't need to have, like, an altar for each deity that you work with. And it doesn't have to be a grand
thing. I totally agree with you. I totally agree. I don't think that's a hot take at all.
It can be small, as indescript as you want. It could be something. You could have something for a deity, multiple deities, on your main altar. Because you know what? Some of you guys do not have space for multiple crazy altars, and that's
here's
fine.
The deal.
And also, like, you don't have to work with a deity, like, year round. Especially, let's say you're part of, you know, you do the Greek pantheon. There are certain deities that you honor specific times of year, which means you don't work with them every single day. You don't work with them every single week. You don't work with them every single month.
Yeah.
This is why you don't make it, like, a big major part. The Greeks didn't, like, when they were, like, really, really venerated. And so, guys, like, take it slow. Actually research and learn things before you just, like, yeah, relax. You don't have
literally
to
literally just
like,
relax.
This huge component.
Take a chill pill. literally just relax. Just, we love you so much, but you guys have new people have got to relax. You got to, because what you're doing is you're putting way too much pressure on yourself. You're putting too much pressure on the relationship. Again, treat it like you're dating. If you're like single tomorrow and you go on 7 days with 7 different people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, let's get married tomorrow to all 7 of them.
Mm.
That's crazy.
Like, it really,
people would be
literally
concerned about you. And that is no different when it comes to building relationships with deities. Polyamory works for some people. Polyamory doesn't work for other people, and they are more monogamous. Sometimes people are monogamous that have an occasional open relationship. And they've got little short flings with certain people or deities because it works for them right then.
And along the same lines of relationship, like with deities too, consent is a two-way street. If a deity says no, they mean no.
I recognize like this metaphor of dating. This is good.
Yeah. And recognize that a deity's advice may not align with your path or how you want to navigate things. And that is also consent. You don't have to consent to everything a deity says. Like sometimes working with a deity, like for a specific issue, doesn't make sense. Like if you want to get your crap together and you don't want to like completely rebuild stuff, I wouldn't say go work with Loki. Loki is going to make you destroy things and then rebuild it from the ground up. Like, just let's do things smartly and wisely. Not, like, think that you have no say over how things go.
Yeah. So, Maria, what's stirring your cauldron right now?
Oh, let me tell you. I can tell you that it's not coughing every 10 seconds. Yeah. But I will say, like, as a chronically ill person, you're forced to, like, find, like, the bright side of life when it gets hard. And not that things have been okay lately on the chronic illness front, not coming. But
you just played yourself, like, big dog. What do you thinking?
I know. Nah.
What do you think?
It's already garbage fire, it's fine. but it has taught me so much about being mindful and slowing down. Like, and just, like, I have journaled more than what I have, like, in years. I'm actually I'd like to typically jump from journal to journal based on, like, how I'm feeling. Like, sometimes I keep, like, 5 different journals and I'll write in one day and write in one in another. But this year I have, like, stuck to one journal and it is almost all filled out. And I am, like, ridiculously proud of myself. And
hell, I think, yeah, girl.
Oh, yeah. Just being channeling all this stuff into one journal has really helped. And then also, like, spending time, like, doing stuff that feels good to me, like, spiritually, like, spending time with my guides, doing some, like, tarot pulls, or just, like, literally one of my favorite things to do right now, probably not right now, because, as I said, the pollen looks like snow, is going and just, like, sitting in my backyard and don't have my phone. Don't have anything going and just sitting and just being for like 10 minutes. And that has meant the world to me. You know, you get vitamin D, you get some meditation in, you.
She's not getting that vitamin D anywhere else.
Sorry. Lesbian joke. Lesbian joke. Sorry. No, that was a good one. That was a good
Thank
one.
Thank you.
I like that. That was funny. I'm going to tell us that one Scarlet later. But no, like, on the bright side, I have learned a lot about, you know, being mindful and listening to my body, like being forced to listen to my body this past year. And I don't know, it's just been on my mind. Like, I think the journal, like, looking at my journal this morning was like the, oh, look at me. I'm about to buy a new one.
Look at you go, girl.
So, Robin, what is not stirring your cauldron right now? I sound so sexy and so hot.
Thank you so much for asking. You do. And knowing that your child is in the same room as you is probably so funny.
They're shaking their head and
wow. Listen, here's the dealio, Rue. Your mom and I are allowed to kiss, hold hands, caress each other fondly. Okay, it's our life's work, and our prerogative.
Thumbs down.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so what is not stirring my cauldron this week is what I kind of touched on earlier, which is that I'm seeing a resurgence of the god spousing level BS on the internet, and just really making magic seem like this big fantasy, like, and on top of that, being very authoritative on topics where I'm like, oh, you don't even know what the definition of that is, and yet you're being so authoritative. I saw one the other day that was like, I'm a Viking. What was it? It was like, I'm a Viking because my ancestors were Vikings or something like that, right? And I'm like, a Viking is a job. Like, a Viking was a job. Like, oh, yeah? Are you raping and pillaging people as well? Like, what are you saying? When you say that, you don't even know what a Viking is, clearly. Like, I'm this because my, you know, I came from this. It's like,
Are you, like, I know that in my family, that we were a bunch of mechanics for, since cars have existed. Nobody's surprised that the Mexican is a bunch of, family has a bunch of mechanics. But does that mean I'm a mechanic? Yes. Like, hello, use your fucking head. Like, it was a job title. Yes. What are you saying? Like, what are you saying? And like, see? You know, I have this authority over this because my ancestors were this. And it's like, that's, hello? Somebody's ancestors was also the candlestick maker. Like, what are you saying right now?
This always happens, like, during chaotic times or times of trouble. Like, people turn to witchcraft and they have a little, because things are so chaotic, they have, like, the little touch of the spiritual psychosis. And, you know, unfortunately, we have our phones at our fingertips. So, like, it's really easy to, like, you know, pop off on the internet.
Right. Just people are so wild and out of pocket. And I think that they all need to just relax. Everybody needs to relax. We all need to have a little sip of reality juice and just calm the fuck down. Like, I swear to God.
There's nothing wrong with, like, romanticizing your practice, you guys.
Right, but there's a line in the sand. There's a line in the sand between romanticizing your practice and then just being, like, a dick on the internet.
Like, they're cult leaders, Robin. Like, they're aspiring cult leaders.
I'm not a Viking because of X, Y, and Z. I'm a Viking because that's what my ancestors were. And, like, the comments were, like, stares in Scandinavian, like, shit like that. Like, it was literally a girl, like, called Brittany from Connecticut. Like, shut up. Like, you shut up. Just stop it. Anyway, I don't want to get too, because I'll just be bullying if I continue at this point. But I... It's a job title, folks. Like, I'm a candlestick maker because my ancestors were candlestick makers. Fucking what? Anyway. If you've just joined us this week, every week we talk about creators that we are loving right now. This is anybody from shops, Instagrams, books, artists, accounts. It doesn't really matter. Just something that we found, we love, we think you guys might love. They are not paid advertisements. And we have a listener submission. And if you have got a creative that you think that the community would love to hear, we would love to share them. So shoot us a DM, send us an email. We would love to promote them. That being said, Maria, who are you into right now?
Oh my gosh. Stupid TikTok. I swear to God. But this came across my screen and I screamed. But it's Desktop Farms and they're like, little just farms that you can have like on your counter and stuff like that. And they have like mini houses with mini trees. It's like having Stardew Valley, like, just sitting on your counter. They are so cute. And you could make,
I've seen that.
Microgreens and stuff in them. Like, they're so beautiful and so cute. I love them so much. I want one.
I think I've seen that. That's really cute. My choice this week is actually a really small creator that I just stumbled upon. But it looks like 8 million people stumbled upon this video as well. The creator's called Knee Patches, and they have a video where they are doing a shell cleaning, and a lot of us have, like, utilized shells in witchcraft, and it's a video on basically how to clean your shells so that way all those beautiful colors come out, and I just thought it was, like, a really practical and useful video for a lot of us that utilize shells in spell work to make them as beautiful as possible. Like, it was just a good functional video. Do you know what I mean?
Wow, that's pretty.
Yeah. Never knew that. And so I thought that was, I don't know, I thought it was really clever. And I thought that at least somebody is going to listen to this and be like, I would like to know how to clean my shells. So there's that video. Our listener choice this week is a potter. What is the word I'm looking for here? Pottery? Baker?
Potter, right?
Potter? Called throwandgrow.ceramics. They do, like, specifically what we were sent were some cauldrons that they do that are really, really beautiful. Yeah, I thought they were super cool. I don't know.
Oh, they're so pretty.
Yeah, really, them. Really jazzed on it.
No, these are great. I love them. Pretty.
Yeah, so I don't know. Go check them out. And as a reminder, if you've got a creative that you would love to share with us, especially right now when we are putting all of our love, energy, and dollars into small businesses because fuck capitalism, send us your shops. We would love to see them. Or your accounts, artists, everyone. Thank you all so much for joining us today. We hope to see you again on Friday, March 28th for our next Coffee Talk episode, or on April 4th for the 5th episode of Season 6. You can keep an eye out on our social media or head to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, to find out more information and see what we are up to. And don't forget to join us March 29th for our class with Suri Vincent Plouffe on Queering the Runes. This is a Brighter Library Teared Up. We hope to see you there.
And we also have individual classes. We'll have this individual class for sale. So if you don't want to join the whole Discord, Patreon, you could just take that class. Just come do that class. But anyways, additionally, our Patreon Magical Beginnings offers our special 25-minute part 2 episode, a huge library of articles about witchcraft, a Discord community full of fun events and discussions, and we even have tiers to offer one-on-one conversations with Robin and myself. And if you, like, one time, if you want to do mentorship, that's fine. Or the next time you want to do a tarot, have a tarot reading done by, you know, one of us, like, yeah, we have that as an option, so... Come check
get
it out.
In there. Join us.
Yeah.
And please, if you are loving our sexy, sensual, chef's kiss voices, take a moment to review us from whatever streaming service that you are tuning in from, such as Apple Podcasts or Spotify or somebody else, somewhere else. We love reading your reviews and rating us with 5 stars, but really rating us at all helps us to be seen by others. So thank you for everybody who already has and everyone who will in the future. We appreciate it. And as always, a massive thank you to everyone who supports us on Patreon. Without you, none of this is possible.
Yeah, so again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons.
With Robin from At a Tired Witch Everywhere.
And I'm Maria from Magic with Maria Everywhere.
Ready? Are you ready? One.
One.
Two, three.
Bye, witches!
1. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your 2 free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.